Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamah's daf Kuf Tes Vav. We left off Kuf Yodalid Amud Beis. We had started the 15th parak of the Masechta. We had read the Mishnah, but did not get any further than that. So again, the Mishnah that we read yesterday was talking about the circumstances under which a woman who goes to Medina Sayyam along with her husband is believed to testify that the husband died, either so that she could marry anybody else if she was not standing for Yibam, or so that she could perform Yibam, to have Yibam performed on her if the husband, if the deceased husband, or the husband who she claims was deceased, had a brother. And we were drawing distinctions in the Mishnah. We started seeing between Shalom Beina Leveina and Shalom Biolam in a time when there's a peaceful marriage between the two of them and a time when there's peace generally throughout the world versus, or as contrasted with, a situation in which there's Ketata Beina Leveina, in which there's a contentious relationship between the husband and the wife, and a Shas Milchama Beolam, and a Shas Milchama in the world. We then saw the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, who said that she's never believed unless she presents to us in Beis Din with a sign of Avelus. In other words, she's crying, she's very distressed, her clothes are torn. And then we saw the Chachamim at the end that said, no, it doesn't necessarily matter whether she appears to be distressed or not. Whether she's going to be believed is going to depend solely on the factors that we opened with in the Mishnah. Was there peace between the husband and the wife? Was there peace in the world? Today we're going to talk about in the Gemara why one would not be believed in a time of either strife, that's personal strife, marital strife, or a time when there is war. And we're going to see the reason is because she's not really going to know for sure that the husband died. We're afraid that in a time of war, she's rather going to make certain assumptions about the condition of the husband just based on what's going on around her. Now we're going to talk about other situations where she might make certain assumptions, such as if there's a famine or if she is caught in a house fire with her husband. And we're going to see certain stories where people made assumptions that certain people died, but it turns out that those assumptions were not true, because we are then going to talk about situations where you'll assume that the dead body belongs to somebody, but it really is somebody else. We're going to talk about other scenarios where do we have to be afraid that the item that you think is really item X was really swapped out, so it's really item Y. And we're going to talk about that not in terms of people, but in terms of, let's say, in terms of produce, or if in terms of if something is given to somebody as a pikadon, do we have to be concerned that the item that the nifkad has in his possession is a different item than the one that the mafkid gave him, or do we assume that it's the same item? So again, we're going to segue into that because we're talking about cases of mistaken identity in the Gemara. So again, today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and we thank him very much. And let us get going with the Gemara Kuf Yodalid Amud Beis right after the Mishnah. So says the Gemara as follows: Tana Shalom Beino Leveina Misham Dekabay Lemisnek Tata Beino Leveina. The reason that in the Mishnah we say a case of Shalom Beino Leveina where there's a peaceful marriage is because we have to contrast that with a case in the Mishnah where there is a contentious marriage. Tana Shalom Beyolam Misham Dekabay Lemisnek Milchama Beyolam. And similarly, we talk about a situation where there is peace in the world because we have to contrast that with a situation where there is war in the world. So I'm a Rava, but let's cut to the chase. My time of the Muhammad, what's the reason that she's not believed to testify that her husband died if there's a situation of Milchama, Mishum da Amri bididami? Because she's basically going to testify not based on what she saw, but based on what she assumes. Bididami means she's going to testify based on what she assumes should seem to have happened. In other words, Salkadaita, she's going to think, Bechol Hani de'iktel hu palit. There's a time of war. Everybody's dying. There are so many casualties of war. So my husband's going to be the lucky one who survived? No, she's going to assume that he died. Imtim Salomar. So says the Gemara, Imtim Salomar, Kivan the Shalom Beino Leveina, Natra Adachazia. Lest we think that even though it's a time of Machama, because the marriage is a blissful and happy marriage, even though there's a time of war, she is not going to testify by the dummy. She's not going to testify based on an assumption, because she loves her husband so much, she's going to be motivated to watch until he actually dies, and only then testify that he dies. Zimnin the machale begire of aruchma besavra vaday meis vikadavat simtari v'chaya. She's in a war zone. She's not going to stay there until the husband dies because there are arrows and the proverbial bullets are flying all over the battlefield. She's going to see that he was struck. She's going to perceive herself as being in a situation of danger, and she's therefore going to make the assumption that since he was struck, it must be a fatal wound, and therefore he must be dead. However, sometimes it could be that people would come and would administer simtari as an herbal remedy, and therefore the husband would live. And therefore, the point of the Mishnah is that if there's a milchama ba'olam, even if the marriage is peaceful, we can't assume that she's going to wait until she actually sees her husband dead, because there's a milchama, she's going to testify based on assumption and not based on what she actually saw with her own two eyes. Says the Gemara Navaiter, first wide line. Savar Rava Lameimar, Ravon Enel Kamilchama. Rava thought to say that a hunger, famine is not like Milchama. Delo Amri Bididami, because she's not going to testify based on assumptions. Hadamar Rava, Rava Nareu Kamilchama. But then Rava changed his view. Rava reverted and said that Rivon, that hunger, a famine, is like Milchama, and we do not accept the testimony of a woman unless she actually sees her husband die, because until she actually sees her husband die, we're afraid she's going to testify based on assumption and not based on personal knowledge. Because there was a woman who came before Rava, Amra Le, and said to Rava, Ba'ali meis barav, my husband died in the famine. So Amra Le, Shapir avadata deshizvi nafshach. So Rava was trying to adduce whether the woman was actually testifying based on first-hand knowledge. So Rava said, you know what, you did a very smart thing by saving yourself, because salka daiflech tahu purta denafisa deshavaktale havichaye. Because, you know, had you given your husband a little bit of the flour that you ate, he may have lived, but you may have died. So you did the right thing by taking it for yourself. Amr le, and she said to him, Mar nami yada d'chiyai gavna lo chai. Oh, you also understand that with that, he wouldn't be able to live. Meaning, Rashi points out that it's obvious that she didn't know whether the guy died. She was making an assumption that he died because Rava basically said, oh, I assume that had you given him your food, he would have lived. And the woman said, oh yeah, right. So it's mashma that she never actually saw him dead. Then Rava said that a famine is even worse than milchama. Why? Because in a time of war, the only time the woman is not believed to testify is when she said, my husband died in the war. Because we're afraid that if she's testifying that her husband died in the war, she didn't actually see him dead. She only saw him wounded, and she assumes that he died because everybody else died. But if, let's say there's a time of war, but this guy's not a soldier. He's in his house. He died in his bed, in his sleep. And she comes and testifies, my husband died at home. Is she going to be believed? Yes, because she's not in the middle of the war zone. However, Gabe Ravon, however, by a famine, says the Gemara, Adi Amris Meis V'Kvartiv. Until she says that he's dead and I buried him, then she is not believed, because even if she sees him in bed and he's very, very deathly ill, and then on that basis she's testifying that he died, we still can't believe her testimony, we still can't credit her testimony, because it's possible that somebody came after she left and gave him some food and nursed him back to health. Says the Gemara now, if a building caves in? What about in a building collapse? A mapolis areyu kumachama. Mapolis, a collapse, is like milchama. Da amri bididami, because she's going to assume that there's no way he could have survived the building collapse, and therefore he must be dead. Shiluach nechashim v'akrabim areyin kumachama. If there's a plague of nechashim and akrabim, of snakes and scorpions, that's like a milchama. Da amri bididami, because she's going to assume that there's no way he could have survived such an attack. Dever, if there's a plague, Amri la areya kamachama, rame ena kamachama. Some say that it's like milchama, some say that it's not like milchama. Amri la areya kamachama, damri bididami. In one respect, it's like milchama because she's going to assume that the guy died, that there's no way he could have survived this plague. Vamri la ena milchama, but some say that it's not like a milchama, the samchi ada amri inchi, because there's a proverb that says, there's a popular idiom that says, shev shanim avi musna, that there was a deathly plague for 7 years, v'inish b'lo shani lo azel. However, a person does not die until they've fulfilled his years. And therefore, even though there might be a plague generally in the world, based on the proverb that a person will live out his allotted years, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees to it that he does, therefore the woman is not going to make any assumptions simply because there there's like a deadly plague or a virus going around. But by Milchama, where she's going to see him wounded and assume that he died, that's when we're not going to credit her testimony. Says the Gemara, Iboilu, Echzika hi Milchama ba'olam mahu. Let's say we only know that there is Milchama in the world because she told us that there is Milchama. In other words, remember, she went to Medina Sayyam. It's not like today where everybody had access to the internet and instant news or even a newspaper. They didn't know whether there was Milchama unless it was based on an eyewitness account of what was going on in the other location. So let's say the only reason we know there's Milchama in the other location is because she told us that there's Milchama in the location. So mahu. So mi amrina mali lashaker. Do we say, well, what does she have to lose? In other words, she wouldn't lie. In other words, Rashi says, we didn't know that there was Milchama in the world, in that part of the world, without her testimony. So had she not told us that there's Milchama in the world, we would have assumed that there was Shalom ba'olam, and therefore we would have permitted her to get married on the basis of the testimony that her husband died. So now that she says, there is Milchama ba'olam in that part of the world, and my husband's dead, since she could have gotten away without admitting that there's Milchama ba'olam, so maybe she's believed to say that the husband died, because she should have said, flipping over to Kuptas Vava Med Aleph, she could have said that there was peace there. She didn't have to tell us that there was a war there. Or maybe once we are muchzak that there is Milchama Be'olam, because Hare she told us that there is Milchama Be'olam, so we say that she's testifying based on an assumption. She's not testifying based on the fact that she actually saw him dead. V'lo asi Mali Leshaker Umara Chaskase. And the Mali Leshaker is not this notion of Mali Leshaker is not enough to undermine the Chazaka. So the question is, do we believe her because we apply the principle of Mali Leshaker, or do we not believe her because once we establish that there is a Milchama because of her testimony, that state of Milchama is now established, it's now muchzuk, it's now a chazaka, and therefore she's not going to be believed because then we automatically apply the status of the dummy. So we don't know, we don't resolve that. Says the Gemara now, three lines down from the top. Tashma, Yishinu Ileinu Bayis, somebody set a house on fire while we were in it, somebody set a cave on fire, who mays Vanini Talti, and she's testifying, my husband died, but I was saved. So ain't an MNS. So she's not going to be believed. So says the Gemara, well, Shani Hasam, the Amar Lakiechad Lidach is Rakash Nisa, Lididinami is Rakash Nisa. She's not going to be believed because just like a nace happened to you and you survived, so too we could say that a nace happened to him and therefore he survived. In other words, and this is not like a Milchama, because by a Milchama, it's possible that she actually saw him dead. However, in the house or the cave, which is full of smoke, when you're in a house or a cave full of smoke, you actually can't see anything. So we know for sure that she didn't see him dead. She's only assuming that he died because she was in a house fire. But we're not going to believe her because we say to her, you're here living right now. You're testifying in front of Beis Din. Obviously, because you survived. The same way that you survived, it's also possible that he survived. Says the Gemara in Avaita, another case. Tashma, Naflu Aleinu Ovdei Chochavim. If Ovdei Chochavim attacked us, Naflu Aleinu Listim, if bandits attacked us, Humeis Vinitzalti, that he died and I was saved. Ne'emenes, then she is believed. Why don't we say, just like you escaped, so too he managed to escape. Hasam k'ravidi. No, because over there we applied the principle of ravidi. Dama ravidi isha klei zayna alea. That a woman always has her weapons on her. What does it mean that a woman always has her weapons on her? So Rashi explains that we know that the Akum are not going to kill the woman because rather than kill the woman, the Akum would prefer to have relations with a woman. They would prefer to rape the woman and not to kill her. There are other Rishonim who say that the reason that the woman is not going to be killed is not because the Ovdei Chochavim are necessarily going to want to keep her alive in order to rape her. It's because the Ovdei Chochavim only kill people when they're provoked. And since the woman is not going to fight back, then the Akum won't bother with trying to kill her. So that's the reason why we're going to believe her, and why we don't assume that just like she escaped, he escaped, because it's much more likely that she's going to escape, because we know, for whatever reason, Machlokas Rashi, other Rishonim, that the other Kochavim are not very likely to kill women. Says the Gemara Navaitar, Hu Gavra de Bashili Hilulei, there was a tragic story. A guy in the middle of his wedding celebration, Itlanure Be Ganani, that a fire took hold in the marriage home. So in other words, the house went on fire the night of the wedding. So it's a disaster. So Amarlu Debisu, so his wife was crying, Chazu Gavroi, look, my husband is there, my husband is in the house and it's burning, help, help. So Asu Chazu Gavra Charucha, the Shadi, that they saw a burnt body there, and the body was burnt beyond recognition, Rachman al-Itzlan, so we couldn't tell who it is. Upasta diyade de shadia. And also, separately from the body, there was a severed hand that was there. So Savar Rav Chiya Baravan Lamemar Hainui Shainilu Abayas Ashinilinimara. So Rav Chiya Baravan thought that that's a situation where we say, where it's like the house went on fire, the cave went on fire, and she's not going to be believed to testify because we say that just like a miracle happened to you, so too a miracle happened to him. And Amar Rava says, Rava, no, they're not similar. Me dummy, hasam lo kamar chazuch adroi chazuch adroi. In the case where the cave was on fire, where the house was on fire, and we say the same way you survived, so too he survived, she never said, I saw my husband burning up in flames. She wasn't able to see anything. Here, she says, I saw my husband burning up in flames. The od, kavr charucha deshadi, upasta diyade deshadi. Also, look at the forensic evidence. We have a charred body. We have the severed hand. So, can't we assume that that was her husband? So, Rav Chiya Baravan, gavra charucha deshadi, ema in a shakrine. So, says Rav Chiya Baravan, no, there's no guarantee that it's her husband. Could be the body that's charred and burnt beyond recognition is not her husband. Rather, it's somebody else. Maybe a rescuer, maybe a first responder ran into the house, or a good Samaritan ran into the house to try to save the husband. And the fire consumed him. So maybe the dead body, maybe the burnt body is not the husband, but is rather an attempted rescuer. And maybe the severed hand is the hand of the rescuer that the fire cut off his body. Now, the husband is not there at all. And the husband got third-degree burns in the fire, and because he was disfigured, he therefore was embarrassed, and he ran away. So the mumim that we're talking about, says Rashi, the mum that we're talking about that the husband sustained is not the mum that his hand fell off, because if the severed hand really belonged to the husband, Rashi says there's no way that the husband would be able to survive if his hand was actually severed and fell off. So the mum that we're talking about is stam a burn, but once your hand falls off, is burnt off because of a fire, there's no way that one could survive that. But the point of this is that even though the woman said, chazuk abroi, even though she said, chazuk abra, even though she said, look, there's my husband, and then there's a dead body there, we can't assume that the dead body actually belongs to her husband. Says the Gemara now Vayter, another question, about halfway down the Amud. So Yibayluhu, Eid Echad B'Milchama Mahu, is one witness believed in a situation of Milchama? In other words, it's not only her, it's not only she who's saying that her husband died. We have Eid Echad, we have one witness who says that her husband is dead, and it's a Shas Milchama. So what is the halacha? Taima Eid Echad Mehem, Mishem Demilsa David Ligui, Hu Lamashakir. The reason that an Eid Echad is generally believed to testify in a situation like this in order for a woman to get remarried is because it's a milsa David Leglude. It's something that eventually is going to come to light, and therefore he's not going to lie. In other words, the aide is not going to lie about the status of the husband, whether he's alive or dead, because if he testifies that he's dead and then the husband's really alive, guess what? He's going to come home one day, and the testimony of the aide is going to be proven demonstrably false. And therefore, the aide is believed over here as well. Hachanami Lamashakir. O Dilma, time of the Eid Echad, Bisham Dihi Gufa Daika Mitzvah. No, the reason that an Eid Echad is believed is because we believe the Eid Echad in concert with the independent investigation that the woman herself is going to do. So the Eid Echad combined with the independent investigation of the woman is going to be enough to allow the woman to get remarried. V'halcha, Kivan, and the Masoras Hashas changes the Girsa. Lo Daika Umitzvah Da Amri Bididami. And over here, because the woman is not going to do her own independent investigation, because again, the reason that we said the woman is not believed in a case of Milchama to begin with is because she's going to testify based on an assumption. She's going to make an assumption that the husband actually died without seeing the husband physically dead. And therefore, we don't have the ability to believe in Eid Echad, because usually we believe in Eid Echad because we're depending in part on the independent investigation of the woman. Here, the woman is not going to investigate as thoroughly because she's going to make assumptions. Therefore, we wouldn't believe in Eid Echad b'shas milchama either. So Rami Rama Bar Chama says, let's solve this question. So Tashma, Samar Rabbi Akiva, Kashi Yeradati L'Narda Le'Avar Hashana, when I went to Narda to be Ma'avar the Shana, Matsasi Nechemia Ish Beis Dali, I saw Nechemia Ish Beis Dali, V'Amar Li, and he said to me, Shamati She'emisin Es Isha Beretz Yisrael Al-Piyed Echad Ela Rav Yudah Ben Bava, that the only Mandiyamar, the only rabbi in Eretz Yisrael who holds that you're allowed to that we permit a woman to get remarried on the basis of an Eid Echad is Rav Yudah ben Bava. V'namti lo, and I said to him, Kena Dvarim, yes, you're right, it's Rav Yudah ben Bava, he's the Baal Hashita. He's the one who holds that way. Samar li, so he said to me, Emar lahem, Mishmi, go tell them in my name, Atem Yodim, Hamadina Azum Meshebeses Begaisos, that you know that this Medina, in other words, where I am, where Rabbi Akiva was in Arda, is in a state of turmoil because there were troops all over the place. Kach mekablani megamriel azaken. This is the tradition that I received from Rabbi Gamliel azaken. Shemasiyana ishal pi eid echad. That we permit a woman to get remarried on the basis of a single aid. So says the Gemara, my Medina meshubeshes begaisos. Why did he mention that the Medina is meshubesh begaisos? Lav afagav de Medina zu meshubeshes. Kach mekablani shemasiyana al pi eid echad. Didn't he intend to say that we believe the testimony of the Eid Echad even in a time of war, even when the Medina is overrun with troops? Alma Eid Echad Mehemet. So we see that an Eid Echad is believed even b'shas milchama. Says the Gemara, no raya at all. Amar Rava Iachi Maishna Medina Zu. Komo kam she es geisus mi boile. In that case, if what Rabbi Akiva meant to say was that an Eid Echad is believed b'shas milchama, so why is Rabbi Akiva stressing that Medina Zu is Meshubeshes Begaisos? That this Medina, where I am currently, is overrun with troops. He should have said, in a place that is overrun with troops, the Eid Echad is believed. Why was he focusing on Medina Zu? It's Ela Amar Rav Achi Kamar, Atem Yodim Shemedina Zu Meshubeshes Begaisos. You know that this place is overrun with troops, and therefore, below Efshar Li Lemishvak in Shibesi, I cannot leave my house, Umaisi Kemend Rabbanon, and to testify in front of the Rabbanon about the Shita of Rav Gamliel. In other words, Kach Mekoblani Min Rav Gamliel, Shemesina Isha Al Pi Eid Echad. In other words, that the fact that the Medina was overrun with troops was not part of the Maimar Halach at all. It didn't have anything to do with the fact that you believe in Eid Echad, so you don't believe in Eid Echad b'shas milchama. What he was trying to say is you believe in Eid Echad, period, not when there's war. Why did he mention the war? That explained why he wanted the other rabbi to go convey the testimony from Rav Gamliel, and Rav Akiva himself couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael to convey the testimony. He was just giving himself, he was just explaining why he needed to rely on the emissary, on the messenger to convey this tradition, and was not in position to go convey the tradition of Rav Gamliel himself. It was because he could not leave his family. However, the halacha itself had nothing to do with a shas milchama. Okay, says the Gemara in Avaiter, Toshma, the last skinny line. Maisa b'shnei talmidei chachamim. There was a maisa with two talmidei chachamim. Shayabam im Abba Yosi ben Simoi b'sfina. They were going on a boat. V'tava, and the boat sank. V'esia Rebbe nishoseim al pi nashim. And Rebbe permitted their wives to get married al pi nashim. And right now we assume that these women did not actually see the dead bodies. But says the Gemara, why would we believe the women that these guys died? V'hamayim kimilchama damu. But water is like milchama, and mayim is but water is like milchama. In other words, why aren't we afraid that the woman didn't actually see the dead men? That the woman actually just assumed, she said, like, the Titanic is sinking, and therefore I assume that these people died because everybody died. So says the Gemara, "Vamayim kamucham adamu." So why do we believe? V'nashem afilu meya kedach adamu. And even if you have 100 women, halachically, their edus is considered to be as strong as only edach. Advektani he see, and we see that Rebbe accepted their testimony to allow these women to get remarried. So if water is like milchama and women is like eid echad, what we see is that you're going to believe in eid echad b'shas milchama, says the Gemara. Says the Gemara says, no, v'tizbara, mayim sheinlem sof ninu. Says the Gemara, no, these were mayim sheinlem sof. They were, the boat sank in the ocean. Mayim sheinlem sof, we're going to get to in a couple of days. We're going to get to it next week. Mayim sheinlem sof is when you have a big body of water and when you're standing in one place, you can't see all of the banks of the water. So the issue is that if somebody goes in the water and goes underwater and you don't see him come out, if it's Mayim Sheyesh Lam Sof, if you could see, let's say if it's a little lake and you could see all of the banks from your vantage point, so you could tell, did he come out of the water or not? So if he came out of the water, you know he's alive. If he didn't come out of the water, we're going to see next week how long he has to be in the water, maybe 3 days, but whatever it is. So if you don't see him come out of the water, then you know that he's dead. So this boat was in the middle of the ocean. So it's Mayim Shein Lam Sof. Mayim Shein Lam Sof, we have to be afraid by Mayim Shein Lam Sof that even though you didn't see him come out, it could be that the current swept him far away and he came out of the ocean or he came out of the river downstream. So it could just be that you didn't see him. So this water is, says the Gemara, this is Mayim Shein Lam Sof, and Mayim Shein Lam Sof Ishto Asura, and Mayim Shein Lam Sof, the women are going to be prohibited from getting remarried, even if there were Edom Ksherim, says Rashi, even if there were two Edom that he drowned, they saw the boat go under, Shema Tzaf Machbasa Mayim V'yasa, maybe he was able to swim and he floated downstream and then he came out of the water. So Ella Hechidami, so what the Gemara is bothered by now is, why in the world did Rebbe then permit these women to get remarried? If it's Mayim Shein Lam Sof, don't we have to be concerned that even though they saw the boat sank, maybe these people swam downstream and then they managed to survive? So aren't we dealing with a case where they saw the bodies and they saw them immediately and we were able to identify them? V'ka'amri simanim de'lav alayu samchinan ela simanim. And they said they gave over a certain simanim that the body had, and therefore we're relying not on their testimony, but we're relying on simanim. And we have to be talking about simanim that not everybody knows, because if there's simanim that everybody knows, then we still have to be afraid that that they're testifying based on bididami, based on an assumption over here. There is a machlokas whether by simanim muvhakim you still have to see the body immediately or not. In other words, do we have to be afraid that the simanim on the body, the identifying marks on the body, might change within a little bit of time after you pull the body from the water or not? And Tosfa says, the Chazinu La'alter, the top Tosfa is Perish La'alter Sha'ola Minamayim, that the women are testifying that they saw these simanim on the body of the, on the dead bodies immediately after they were pulled from the water. Avalim Shobamayim Harbe, but if they remained in the water for some period of time, then Ein Lachosh Demaya Mitzamis Tzmisi Kilesa Lamaka. But if they waited, then the water contracts the body, is what Tosfa says. That, in other words, the water is basically going to preserve the body. It's going to shrivel the body a little bit when it's in the water. But as soon, if you see it, as soon as you pull it out of the water, then it's going to be fine. We're going to see again next week that water, if there is an open wound, water is thought to agitate the wound. If there is no open wound, water is thought to sort of preserve a body. But that's so long as it's in the water. Once you pull it out of the water, then the body bloats right away. And says Tosfos, if the body bloats right away, then you're not going to be able to identify the body based on simanim, because the bloating is going to distort the simon. So in other words, the basic gist over here is, we thought we were believing the women, and even though Mayim Mishas Mochama, and the answer is, we're not believing the testimony of the women. The women came with simanim. So we're believing the simanim, we're not believing the women themselves. Says the Gemara now, two lines down from the top. There was a guy who was mafkid a bunch of sesame seeds with his friend. So Amar Lei, Havli Shem Shemi. So the Mafked went to the Nifkad and said, you know what, give me my sesame seeds back. Amar Lei, so the Nifkad said, Shakaltinu, you already took them. So I don't have to give anything back to you. But there was a such and such amount, and they were in this barrel. So Amar Lei, Didach Shakaltinu, you took what was yours. And these are other sesame seeds. So Savar Rav Chisda Lameimar, so Rav Chisda thought to say that Hainu Shnei Tamidei Chachamim, that this is the case of like the two Tamidei Chachamim who were on the boat, where they testified that the boat sank and that Tamidei Chachamim died, and we don't assume that these bodies are other people and the Tamidei Chachamim are elsewhere alive in the world. We assume that these are the guys who were on the boat. So too, we should assume that the sesame seeds that are here are not new sesame seeds that were replaced. We should assume that these were the old sesame seeds that we were here. And we don't say that they were replaced. Over there, in the case of the two Tamei Chachamim, the reason that we believe that it's the same people and we don't assume that these are different guys is because you have to read the Gemara a couple of lines earlier. We said that the women testified based on simanim. There were simanim with hakim on the body. There were identifying marks on the body. So it's proven beyond a doubt that these are the same people. However, by the sesame seeds, we have no idea if it's the same people. So halcha, shum shemi, my simani yislu. What simen do the shum shemin have? What simen do the sesame seeds have? The tzigamra, kach v'kach havayin, he says that there was a certain quantity of sesame seeds. Emar chushbenas rami, maybe the quantity of sesame seeds happens to correspond. So it's interesting because by Ashava Saveda, if there's a lost object and you're trying to identify the lost object, we actually do accept a schum as a simon for the lost object. For example, if you lost money, so how much money did you lose? You're not supposed to say, I found $20, because then somebody can say, oh, I lost $20. I found a bill. And if somebody says, oh, I lost $20, and you see it's $20, okay, so you could be Meshav the Aveda. It's only an amount. So if you lost a certain number of items, so why is that a simon? So we have to make a chiluk between an aveda and a pikadon. That by an aveda we're going to trust a simon. By a pikadon, we're not going to trust a simon. So says the Gemara. So in other words, even though by the two Tamid Chachamim were on the boat, we believe that these are them, that they're the same people, because we testify based on Simanim, over here by the Shumshamin, they may be different sesame seeds. So Amar Lei, Mar Kashisha Bar Rav Chisda L'Ravashi, Mi Chashin and Shem Apinan, are we really afraid that maybe these are different sesame seeds? Vatnam, but didn't we learn in a Mishnah, Matzah Kli V'Chasav Alav Kuf. If you find a Kli that the letter Kuf is written on it, then Karban, then we assume that it's filled with carbon meat. Mem, Meiser. If you find a mem on the Kli, then it's Meiser. Dalid is Damua. It's Damua. Tes is Tevel. Tuf is Truma. Shabbazal Sakana, Ayakosven, Tuf, Tachas Truma. Because in a Shasha Sakana, then they would write in shorthand. Instead of writing out Truma on the barrel so that you would know what's Truma, they would just write Tuf. They would just write the first letter. And therefore, everybody would know that it's Truma. And what we see from here is that we assume that what used to be in the barrel is still in the barrel. We assume that because the barrel says tough, and therefore it obviously used to contain truma, we assume that it still contains truma and that it doesn't contain something else. We don't assume that the truma was taken and now it has something else in it. Similarly, Ravina L'Ravashi, V'lo Chashin and Shema Pinan, aren't we afraid that maybe you took out the truma and you put it and you put something else here? Same as Seifa, but look at the Seifa. Rav Yossi, Amar Afilo Matzah Chavis, V'kos of Alev Truma, Rei Luchulin. Even if you find a barrel that says truma on it, not only the tough, not only the short name, but it actually says truma on it, Rei Luchulin, we're going to assume that it's chulin. Shani Omer, Ishtaket Avi Malei Truma Apina. That before it used to be filled with truma, but now you cleared it out and this is new produce in the barrel. Ella de Kuliyama Chashin and Shemapinan. Really, everybody agrees that we have to be afraid that maybe you cleared out the barrel and this is totally new produce. And this is what we're arguing about. Mar Savar Emisa de Pinu Michfar Havi Kafar. One man the Amar says that had you actually replaced the produce, had you actually cleared out the Truma produce, you would have rubbed off the mark from the barrel that said Tav. Vidach Emar Ishtaliya Yishtali. And others say, no, maybe he forgot. In other words, maybe he did clear out the truma from the barrel. Maybe what's in the barrel is new chulin produce, but he simply forgot to erase the tuff from the barrel. Inami lefanche shavke, or maybe he left it for security. What does it mean for security? So Rashi says, maybe he left it there because if people assume that it's truma, they're not going to touch it because only a kohen is allowed to eat truma. So maybe the guy's smart. In other words, maybe what's in the barrel is not truma. Maybe he left it there. He left the mark there because he wanted, basically, this was like an alarm system, so to speak, on the barrel. Says the Gemara Navaiter. So Yitzchak Reish Galusa Bar Achte de Rav Bibi. So Yitzchak Reish Galusa, who was the son of the daughter of, the son of the sister, rather, the nephew of Rav Bibi, Havi Ka'ozil Me Kurtova Laspamya. He was going from Kurtova to Aspamya. Veshachim, and he died. So Sholchim Yasim, so they sent from there, they sent from Aspamya. Yitzchak Reish Galusa Bar Achte de Rav Bibi. Yitzchak Reish Galusa, the nephew of Rav Bibi, Havi Ka'ozil Me Kurtova Laspamya. He was going from Kurtova to Aspamya. Veshachim, and he died. Says the Gemara, Mi Chashin Letre Yitzchak Olo. So we know that this guy went to this place and then he died. And somebody is coming and telling us a guy by this name who came from this place to that place died. So do we have to be afraid that there's somebody else of the same name who went from the same city to the same other city who died? Or can we assume, no, it's the guy who we know who went to that city and then he died. So do we have to be afraid for two Yitzchaks or not? Sabaya Mar Chashina. And Abaya says, yes, we have to be afraid for two Yitzchaks. And Rava Amar Lo Chashina. And Rava says that we are not Choshesh. Tosfa says that this whole case over here has to be a situation where we don't for sure know that there are two guys with this name. We don't for sure know that there are two guys who are known as Yitzchak Reish Galusa, but there are caravans that go back and forth. Because, and then the question is, do we have to be afraid that even though we don't know of another Yitzchak Reish Galusa, that there was another Yitzchak Reish Galusa somehow found himself in that place because he went on another caravan? But if, says Tosfos, if we are muchsuk that there are two guys with the same name, then obviously we have to be afraid. Similarly, if we're not muchsuk that there are two guys with the same name and there are no caravans that go back and forth, we also don't have to worry because there's no way that another guy with that name could have gotten there. But in a case where we don't know for sure that there are two Yitzchaks, but there are caravans, that's the way Tosfos sets it up, what's the deal? So Abaya says we have to be afraid it's a different guy. Rava says we don't have to be afraid it's a different guy. Amar Abaya mina amina la. How do I know that we have to be afraid it's a different guy? Da'u gita deshakach ben arda, because it was a get that was found in arda. Because of itzad klunya masa, and it said at the side of klunya, ana andrunaloi narda, I, Adrilinoi Narda, Patras Vatakras Yasploni Insusa. I'm divorcing my wife. Veshalchu Avur de Shmuel Kameh de Rav Yehuda Nesia. And Avur de Shmuel sent this Shaila to Rav Yehuda Nesia. Veshalach Le Tidbuk Narda Kula. You have to check the entire Narda to see if there's another guy with his name. And if there is no other guy with his name, you could give the get to his wife and she's divorced. But if there is another guy with a name, then we don't know who the actual get was intended for. If we're afraid that there were two guys with the same name, why are we only checking Narda? We have to be, in the entire world, there might be another guy with his name. Rather, it was only because of the covet of Avdu Shmuel that he said this, because really, you don't have to check to see if there is another person by that name, because we don't have to be afraid of this. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava, says Rava, Rava had said, we don't have to be afraid of another guy with that name. Mina amina la, how do I know? Dahani trei shtarei denafki b'mechuzah, because there were the two shtaros which were taken out, which were presented in mechuzah. V'chasabu chavi bar ninoi v'nani bar chavi. So two very similar names. Chavi bar ninoi, Nanoi bar Chavi. V'agvubu Rava Baravua Zuzi. And Rava Baravua permitted the holder of the shtar of the note to collect, even though there are two people with very similar names. V'chavi bar Nanoi, v'nani bar Chavi, v'mechuzah shchichetuva. But there are many guys by this name, yet we see, and the names are very similar, there are many people with these names, yet we see that he allowed them to collect the shtar. It says the Gemara of Abaya Lamai Nechesh, but according to Abaya, why would we be afraid in the case of a shtar? Ilan Afila, if we're afraid, or maybe it's not this guy's shtar, but it fell, Mizr Zoybe, he's going to very carefully guard his promissory note. He's going to make sure it doesn't fall. Ilan Pikadon, if we're afraid that maybe that the shtar doesn't belong to the guy who's presenting it because somebody else gave it to the guy as a pikodon to guard it, given the shmei kashmei, lo mafkid gabe. The guy's not going to be a moron. He's not going to give the shtar to a guy by the same name as a pikodon so that guy could go then collect on the debt. So my amr, dilma masar le. So then what are we afraid of? We're not afraid that he lost it. We're not afraid that he gave it to pikodon. Maybe he actually transferred it to this other guy. In that case, osios nikdos b'mesira, that you can transfer a shtar simply by handing it over. And if the guy handed it over to the other guy, even though they have the same name, it's not a faulty collection because you totally transferred ownership from one to the next by simply giving over the shtar. Okay, so let's stop here. We'll pick up from the top of Kufta Zion Amud Aleph tomorrow. Everybody have a great day and a good Chodesh.